It's Thursday, October 29th, 2015. Happy birthday to Evan Fournier. And welcome to the Red Rock Fantasy Basketball Monster Podcast, brought to you by Moneyball.com.au, and also today by Scooz Raw, who left a great review on iTunes. And if you want to be like Moneyball.com.au and Scooz Raw and be a sponsor for an episode of the podcast, make sure you leave a review on iTunes, as many of you have. There are a few who are in the queue ready to sponsor the next couple of days' episodes, and it's awesome. I really love it. And some of the reviews have been fantastic, and I'm really, truly, no joking, truly appreciative of the words that you guys have written regarding the show. I'm obviously I'm very, very thrilled to see that. And if you do want to become a sponsor of a podcast for a day, leave a review on there on iTunes and let me know. I said I will get to them, but let me know if you put one on there and I will have a look at it. The real sponsor, Moneyball, been a great first 2 days of DFS here in Australia and New Zealand for the guys who have been able to play it for the first time. Let me know your situation. I've been okay at it. I've won some money, lost a bit of money, but overall, I think I've come out on top. So whoever took me on in the head-to-head games today, I think they beat me in two out of three of those. Had some nice finishes in some of the leagues. So some pretty good results across daily fantasy. And obviously, we're going to do some daily fantasy preview for Thursday's two games later on today. But make sure that if you are in Moneyball, and you know what, if you're in Australia and you listen to this podcast, if you're in New Zealand and listen to this podcast, and you haven't signed up for Moneyball, I'm gonna need a letter from one of your parents explaining why, because I think you really need to get involved with this. It's a great way to keep your knowledge of the NBA up and maybe win some money and keep it. Just it runs separate to your standard seasonal leagues, and it is really a ton of fun. So head across to my website, redrockbasketball.com, and click the link on the page to join in and let them know that I sent you there. And obviously there'll be Red Rock contests going up every day of the year, and you can join in with those. Big shout out to everyone who is watching the podcast on YouTube today. And remember, you can watch on YouTube and subscribe. We have 400 subscribers on YouTube, so that's a bit of a milestone. So thank you to everyone who has done that. And I hope you are enjoying the stuff that is coming through on YouTube. Obviously, it's the same show that you're listening to on iTunes, but with a little bit of a visual aspect and also a live aspect where you can obviously comment and leave questions and call me out on something if I'm speaking and not hitting the point that you want me to get across or want some more clarification on what I'm saying. Watching live on YouTube is the best way to do it. So hopefully there are some people watching now at the moment live, and you can always go back and watch it later on. Now, today was huge. I think that's a fair way of saying it. You might even say that it was monstrous, because there was 14 games on, so every team except for two played. That means we had a lot of things happening, a lot of things to keep our eye on. Thankfully, we didn't have too much going wrong in terms of players getting injured or anything like that. So that's good, but we did have weird rotations. We did have guys playing way more than expected, playing way better than expected, playing way less than expected, playing way worse than expected. And this all comes back to what I've been stressing the last couple of days. Some of this stuff is repeatable. Some of it isn't. So don't get too overly excited with what we see in these first couple of days. There are definitely some trends which are worth mentioning, and I will mention those as we get through them, through the game reviews, which we're going to get to really, really soon. But don't make any over panic moves. And if you got any questions, obviously hit me up on Twitter, redrock_bball. If you have any questions about, you know, should I drop this guy? Should I make this trade? I'm going to talk about one that came through in a minute, and we'll talk. Well, actually, let's get straight to that now. Let's go straight into the monstrous line of the night. And of course, it is my boy, CJ McCollum. And I say my boy sarcastically, because he was someone who I wasn't overly keen on in the preseason. I still stand by that, as dumb as it might sound, after he went out and put up a pretty ridiculous line. He had 22 points in the first quarter, ended with 37, hit six threes, had six rebounds, one assist and one steal. Yes, it's a really, really good night from McCollum, and you're going to get big nights from him. He's also not going to go 14 from 22 from the field very often. He's not going to hit 64% of his shots. And the thing is that he scoring in threes, I never doubted that would come, but it's the peripheral numbers. One assist, that's not great. And he's a point guard eligible player, so if you're looking for him as a point guard, he's not going to be a big assist sort of guy. Taking nothing away from CJ at all, because he's been really good in the preseason. He's been really good, you know, obviously the first game of the season here. But what he is a points and threes guy. That is where his strength lies. So 37 points and 6 threes is fantastic, and he was great today. And Portland are actually a team who might be a bit of a surprise packet this year, not necessarily a playoff contender. I put some money on them with the over-unders at the start of the year on the over. I'm very encouraged early on. We'll see how it all pans out, obviously. But McCollum is a guy who you're going to get excited and watching him play. And I know Matt Smith was practically having a seizure watching him play today. The tweets that were coming out from Matt were a little exuberant, but that's fine. But it doesn't mean that he contributes in every single category. And the trade that I wanted to mention is someone owned CJ McCollum, and after today's game, they got a trade offering Gordon Hayward for CJ McCollum. And you should have pushed accept on that yesterday. That's how fast you should have pushed the accept, because 37 points looks really sexy, but it's not. He's not Gordon Hayward. And if he finishes above Gordon Hayward this season, I will be utterly flabbergasted. There just feels like there's no way. And again, this is taking nothing away from McCollum. If for some reason he's not owned in your league, A, get a new league next season, but B, make sure you pick him up. But I don't think we can be expecting this sort of sharp shooting and this sort of scoring performance from him. Often there'll be nights worse than this. There'll be nights that are similar to this. Don't get me wrong. He is going to be a really talented player, but there are other areas of his game which can be a little bit lacking at times. Doesn't mean he wasn't the monstrous line of the night. He obviously was, with a huge win for CJ McCollum and a huge win for the Portland Trailblazers. Next up, we have the waiver wire line of the night, and I'm going to San Antonio, and you might go, Boris Diaw, come on. Now, he's obviously not owned in many leagues. There's a very small percentage of leagues that he's owned in. I think it's like 3% at the moment. He played 20 minutes, and he had 9 points. That's not all that impressive. 1-3, but 6 assists, 2 steals, 3 blocks on 4 or 5 shooting. That's really interesting. And when I do the waiver wire line of the night, it's not about this is the guy you must go and pick up. It is literally the guy who had the best fantasy performance who is available in the majority of leagues. And Boris Diaw is clearly available in the majority of leagues, but we're not making any moves to go and pick up Boris Diaw. But you know there are going to be times, and especially on short schedule nights, say a Thursday if the Spurs play, and you want to add someone in, a big man, when you've got that roster spot, Diaw's going to be there. Now, 2 steals and 3 blocks, you can't expect that from him very often, but he's going to be a nice assist guy for a center. He's going to be a three-point shooter. He's going to score a little bit. So he'll have value in that sort of area. But overall, he's definitely not someone that we look at and go, oh my God, we need to go and run out and pick up Boris Diaw. That's not the point of the waiver wire line of the night. Now, the young gun of the night, Jahlil Okafor, he exploded out of the blocks, and if you had any money on him for Rookie of the Year, you'd be pretty happy at the moment, because that is a big performance from him. He was huge. 26 points, 7 rebounds, an assist. But the thing that I really like here, 1 steal, 2 blocks, 10 of 16 from the field, 6 from 6 from the free throw line. That is huge. Now, you can't expect both of those things to continue. He was at around 43% from the field in the preseason and about 50% from the line in preseason. The 62% is probably more realistic than the 100%, but I'm still not banking on either of those things. But a really impressive debut. The 2 blocks is great from him as well. I still maintain that he's going to be a punt free throw guy, even though he hit all 6 of his free throws here. He's gonna be a drag in that over the course of the season. But a very, very impressive debut from Jahlil Okafor. And he would have netted you a stack of daily fantasy points today if you did happen to have him rostered on your team. We look at the dud of the night now. So the player who's owned in the majority of leagues, who had the worst performance, and it has to go to last year's Rookie of the Year, Andrew Wiggins. 9 points for Wiggins, 1 rebound, 2 of 10 shooting, 5 of 6 from the line, nothing else. That is not a good line from Andrew Wiggins. I've said this a lot. He was getting drafted very high in some leagues, sometimes within the top 40, and this is not a top 40 performance. Obviously, it's probably the worst performance of the night from what is the worst performance of the night, really. He's not going to be this bad. He's also, I don't think he is really going to be as good as what some people were projecting for him in terms of where he finishes the season. There'll be better times ahead from Andrew Wiggins. If someone really is panicking, though, this is an opportunity. Send a low ball on Andrew Wiggins. I think you really need to look at him and go, okay, we need to. Can we get something for him? Can we throw a real low ball offer at Andrew Wiggins? There's a possibility that something works out there. Owners might not bite, but if someone's offering CJ McCollum in exchange for Gordon Hayward, I think maybe one listener gets lucky on that sort of, or bites on that sort of, gets someone to bite on that trade and get some value back for Wiggins. So it's something to just keep in mind when someone starts off the season with a real thud like Wiggins, you might be able to sneak a little bit of value in there with him. All right, let's look at these games and let's get into them one by one. The 14 games, go through them as quickly as possible because I don't want you to be here for 3 hours listening to this podcast. I don't want to be recording you for 3 hours either. The Wizards and the Magic was the first game. The Wizards, a really low scoring game. The Wizards get the victory. John Wall, he was just pipped at the post for the monstrous line of the night by CJ McCollum. 22 points, 2 threes for John Wall, 7 rebounds, 6 assists, 3 steals and 5 blocks. He was 2 steals away from a 5x5 line. 5 blocks and 3 steals is insanity, especially for a point guard. John Wall was a guy who I had very firmly inside my top 10 this season. Didn't let me down here. I think that's a fantastic start from John Wall. Marcin Gortat was solid, 10 and 8 with 2 blocks. Chris Humphries was the guy that everyone wanted to see what he was going to do. 11 and 6 with a 3, 4 of 9 shooting. Yeah, it's okay. He definitely went out there and shot the 3. He had 3 attempts and hit one of them. 11 and 6, it's middling. It puts him still on that 12-team border. Yeah, some people can grab him. Some people won't. He's not going to be a must-own sort of player. But there's enough to suggest that Chris Humphries is going to get minutes and he's going to get decent minutes. The thing we have to remember here is Allen Anderson and Jared Dudley both didn't play. And there will be times when those guys play that they play in the lineup. They play either at the 3 or the 4, and Otto Porter moves to the 4, and the Wizards go small again. So that might limit Humphries' minutes a little bit. But if you're in a 12-team league, if you're anything deeper than a 12-team league, I think Humphries, there's value in him there. But aside from that, maybe not. Nene, 12 minutes off the bench, 1.2 rebounds. You don't want anything to do with Nene in any sort of standard leagues. 14-team leagues, probably 16-team leagues at the moment, while Bradley Beal was the leading scorer with 24 points, 2 threes, and 6 rebounds. A nice night from him, but not really producing in the peripheral areas. Onto the Magic, and I think the Magic shocked a lot of people when they decided to start birthday boy Evan Fournier instead of Aaron Gordon. Fournier played 27 minutes. He wasn't good. 3 points, 4 rebounds, 1 assist, and 2 steals. It remains to be seen whether this starting lineup is going to stick, but if Fournier gets 27 to 30 minutes, 14-team leaguers need to pay attention, and he can be streamed in 12-teamers. It means that Aaron Gordon, who only played 17 minutes, I'm not automatically dropping him in 12-team leagues if you drafted him, but if the trend continues for the next game or two at getting 17 minutes, you clearly don't want anything to do with him. Now, he was productive, 12 points, 7 rebounds, and a block, but is he going to be able to do that consistently in 17 minutes? You'd have to think not. He played less minutes than Fournier, obviously. Also played less minutes than Mario Hezonja, who played 25 minutes off the bench, 11 points, 3 threes, and 3 rebounds. I don't want anything to do with Hezonja still, definitely for 10-team leagues, probably not for 12-team leagues. I don't think there's going to be enough there on a consistent basis. Victor Oladipo, 17 and 11 with a couple of steals. Lord Alfred Payton, almost the season's first triple-double, 11, 10, and 8 with a steal and a 3, which is a massive rarity for him. Didn't take a free throw, which is good for you, but also was 5 of 15 from the field, which is not that great. And Nick Vucevic, a little bit quiet on debut, 10 and 7 for him. But the thing that's really impressive to see from him is the 2 blocks, and I've maintained it throughout the preseason, is I think that he can become a guy who takes that leap and gets over a block a game, and that really increases his value significantly. He becomes he's already close to a top 20 player. If he starts getting 1 to 1.5 blocks a game, he is definitely a top 20 fantasy player. The next game we have a look at, the Chicago Bulls and the Brooklyn Nets. The Bulls ended up crushing the Nets on the back-to-back. He had Jimmy Butler, had a much better game than the opening night, 24, 4, and 6, 2 steals and 3 threes. But my man Nikola Mirotic, 18 and 9, 4 triples, 2 steals, 1 block, 30 minutes. I had him projected at 30 minutes on Basketball Monster this season, and the numbers came out like insane, top 30, and a lot of people saying, why is Mirotic so high? he might not be the top 30 player this year, but he doesn't need minutes to produce these sort of numbers. That's what I kept saying. His per 36 numbers were incredible last year. He's doing it again now. He is a legit star. Pau Gasol bounced back 16-9 with a block after a real dud performance, and that was always on the cards that he was going to bounce back. And Derrick Rose, it's good to see Derrick Rose a back-to-back. After playing 32 minutes, he played 29 minutes here, 15-2-3 with a steal. He actually didn't destroy your percentages here, hit all five of his free throws. And Rose is going to be that guy just inside the top 100, but providing enough value to keep him rostered. Tony Snell started again. He played 22 minutes. Doug McDermott played 20. This looks like a timeshare. It's got timeshare written all over it. 12-team leagues. You don't want anything to do with that. 10-5 for Snell. 8-2 with a couple of triples for McDermott. There's nothing exciting there. Someone's going to have a big game, and then one out of every 5-6 games, the other guy will have another big game in there, and then they'll have a lot of duds. And it's just not reliable enough in your standard sort of format. Joakim Noah, 18 minutes, 0 points again. That's two games in a row he's gone scoreless. 6 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 steals, and a block. So he's still contributing. Missed both of his free throws as well. Is it drop time for Joakim Noah? It's pretty close, to be honest. It really depends on the way your team's set up. He's costing you in a lot of areas, and it always depends when I talk about dropping guys. You're not dropping him for no one. If you're dropping him, there's going to be someone that you're looking to pick up. So it really depends on who you're picking up at this point, if you are going to drop Joakim Noah. It's something we need to have a look tomorrow. I'm just reading a comment that came through on YouTube, which is someone saying that the Mrs. Indaco said there's 3 games tomorrow, not 2. Correct, there is 3 games tomorrow. I don't know where I had 2 from. So you are correct. Okay, onto the Brooklyn Nets. Brook Lopez, 26-7 with a block. He's going to be big this season. He's going to be a huge player for this team if he stays healthy, which we hope that he can. Andrea Bargnani, though, off the bench, 17.7 rebounds, a steal, and a block in 22 minutes. He obviously is back from that hamstring problem. We know that he can score. We know that's something he can do, but he is a guy who is injury prone, and he's not going to play many minutes. We don't want to look at him from a standard league point of view. With Jarrett Jack out, Shane Larkin got the start. He played just 23 minutes, though. Donald Sloan played 15 minutes. Markel Brown got 9 minutes. And there was a few other guards rolling through that position. Shane Larkin, 6 points. But where his value is, he's 8 assists and 3 steals. That's not enough for me to go. I need to own him in really anything outside of a really deep league. Jarrett Jack is not going to be a long-term injury. And Larkin just doesn't provide enough sort of sexy numbers. Rondae Hollis-Jefferson got 24 minutes in his debut, 8-5, 2 steals and a block. He's a deep league only guy. It was Joe Johnson had 10-10 and Thad Young had 12-5, and they're pretty underwhelming there. They're obviously still rosterable at this point. Bojan Bogdanović, 29 minutes, 9 points. He's a fringe 12-team league guy, and if there's someone hot out there like a Dennis Schroeder, I'd be okay dropping Bogdanović for him, or any of the other guys we're going to talk about a little bit later on. Bogdanović, interesting to me that he didn't start and they started Wayne Ellington. Wayne Ellington played 12 minutes for 0 points. Like why start a guy for 12 minutes when he's clearly not the best option? I'll never understand it. Bogdanović got starters minutes, so don't let that throw you off, or don't let that dissuade you from him. But the fact that his output wasn't high means, and he's gonna have good nights, he's gonna have bad nights. Tonight was a bad one, so he's not a must own player for me. The next game we take a look at is the Indiana Pacers and the Toronto Raptors. Paul George, I said welcome back, PG-13 here on the screen, you can see, but we know he played a few games last year, but he was big here, almost triple-doubled, 17-12-8, 3 steals. Absolutely horrific from the field, though, 4 of 17, that is a big hole. 9 of 10 from the line is really good. He looked great, he played 37 minutes. Maybe I was a bit too pessimistic on him in the offseason. I'm still worried. Let's see him get through a few months without any issues arising, and then we'll go from there. But a great start from Paul George. The other George, George Hill, 19-3-2, 2 steals, a block, and 5 triples. A fantastic performance from George Hill. He played 38 minutes, while Joseph Young played just 2 minutes, and Monte Ellis played only 29. So George Hill, after a really red-hot, all-star-level performance in the second half of last season, he's carried it over again, and he could be a real bargain for people at the end of their drafts this season. Jan Mihimi got the start at center, 10-8 with 2 steals and 2 blocks. He's got value in certain situations in a punt free throw sort of build. If you're looking for a low-end center, Mahinmi's going to get a decent run there. Jordan Hill played 23 minutes, whilst Miles Turner battling that ankle problem, he didn't play at all. So we need to see how Turner gets involved with the rotation. Lavoy Allen only played 12 minutes. Mahinmi's definitely not a must-own. He's a guy that you clearly want over Jordan Hill, but there is some value there for him. 10-8 with 2 steals and 2 blocks is a pretty impressive performance. CJ Miles hit 4 triples for 18 points, and he definitely goes through stretches where he looks like this, and he looks super hot with 3 steals, but he just gets injured, and he gets these little pissy injuries where he's out for a day, he's out for 2 days, he's out for half a week, whatever it is, and then you go, oh, what am I going to do with CJ Miles? He's day-to-day, is he playing? And then he goes hot, and then he goes cold. He's frustrating. Stream him in when he's hot. Don't be scared to cut bait. Monte, a really poor Pacers debut, 9 points, 6 assists, and 2 steals, and some horrible shooting. We're going to get lots of horrible shooting from him this season. Onto the Raptors, Jonas Valanciunas, 32 minutes. That's the big number there, and he was a beast. He is a beast, 21 and 15. He went 8 of 11 from the field. He went 5 of 6 from the free throw line. He also had a block. Dwayne Casey, everyone, I was getting tweets left, right, and center. Casey's not playing him in the fourth. He's not playing him in the fourth. But he played him for the last 6 minutes of the fourth quarter. He played in the entire third quarter. 32 minutes is fine. That's big for Valanciunas. He's a guy that I pegged for a pretty big season, and I'm happy with the way it started. DeMar DeRozan was awesome as well. For DeMar DeRozan going 25, 5, and 6 with a 3 and 2 steals, that's almost unheard of. Also, 10 of 16 from the line is unheard of from him, so that's a detriment. Normally, he's a big volume, high percentage guy. But a good start in the peripheral categories for DeRozan. And Kyle Lowry, 23, 3, and 6 with a couple of threes and a couple of steals. Nice for him. Damari Carroll had an issue with his elbow, but he played team-high 41 minutes. Obviously not a concern. 14, 8, and 4 with 2 steals. The power forward position. It is yuck. It is ugly. Luis Scola, 0 points and 8 rebounds in the start. Patrick Patterson had 8 and 4 with a couple of threes. James Johnson played 3 minutes. Bismack Biyombo played 16 minutes. You don't want any of these guys. If you've got Patterson or Scola in a 12-team league, I reckon you can pretty safely move on from those guys. There's just not a lot of value there. Corey Joseph played 28 minutes off the bench, provided basically nothing. So the minutes are nice. Don't know whether that's going to continue as a trend, but the output, it definitely wasn't good from Corey Joseph in his first game in his or for his hometown team. Next up, the Jazz and the Pistons. The Pistons start off the season 2-0 with a big victory at home against the Jazz. Let's talk about the Jazz first. Derek Favors was a monster, 26-6 with a steal and a block. I pegged him as a real breakout guy this year, and I'm really happy with that start. Gordon Hayward, who I mentioned before in that CJ McCollum deal, 13-4-1 with a steal and a block. Not his best night, and that's a classic case to me of that buy low, sell high sort of thing. If there's anyone out there listening who disagrees with me and would take McCollum over Hayward, please tweet me and let me know why, because I can't see it. Rudy Gobert, 12 rebounds, 3 blocks. You're happy with all that. The problem is that there's no impact in his field goal percentage there, only going 3 of 6 from the field. Didn't take a free throw and only 6 points. So the problem remains, if you drafted Gobert, the points are going to be hard to come by. He's going to be a good positive in blocks and rebounds, definitely, but the other areas are going to be tough. Let's see if he develops. He could easily develop. He's only a young guy, but still my concerns remain there with him. For the wing rotation and point guard rotation, interesting. They started Howell Neto and Rodney Hood, and 26 minutes to Neto, 29 minutes to Hood, 26 minutes to Alec Burks off the bench. Trey Burke played 16 minutes off the bench. And everyone apart from Trey Burke put up nice performances. Alec Burks went 18-6. Rodney Hood went 12-4-6. Howell Neto hit a couple of threes with 8 points and 3 assists. But at the moment, Trey Burke probably doesn't need to be owned. Howell Neto doesn't need to be owned. Alec Burks is borderline. 18-6 is okay, but it's not superb. And Rodney Hood is probably the highest upside guy there. But 12-4-6 is good. There's no denying that. But if they're going to play 26 minutes each, it's going to be really hard to get a handle on who's going to be the guy each night, and they're going to get enough production. Hood, I'm still holding. I've got him in the 12 team in the Red Rock Listener League, Stacey Augman division. I've got Rodney Hood on my team there, so I'm still holding on. Let's see how it plays out. Another big night for Andre Drummond, 18-10 with one steal and two blocks. He actually went 8 of 11 from the free throw line, so a huge night for him in that respect. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope scoring again, 16-5, when Marcus Morris, 14-6. So big minutes again for Morris, but again, he's a guy who doesn't contribute apart from points and some rebounds, so just bear that in mind. At this stage, I think you pretty much have to own him in 12-team leagues, but he's not going to be a super hot guy who's going to be putting up, you know, big lines all the time. Reggie Jackson led the team in scoring, 19. He hasn't got the assist numbers really going yet. Another 4 here, whereas Steve Blake contributed 7 off the bench. And Stanley Johnson played just 20 minutes, 11-5. 10-team leagues, I don't think there's much point in holding Stanley Johnson. You'd be better off streaming that or adding someone else. And 12-team leagues, he's a borderline guy at the moment for me. Jody Meeks suffered an injury in this one. He suffered a Jones fracture to his right foot. He's not going to be back until sometime next year. If you're owning Jody Meeks, you must be in a pretty deep league, but he's going to be out for the next few months. I would think that Reggie Bullock looks to take on some minutes there. Now, Bullock played 6 minutes here and did nothing, but he had some okay preseason games, so deep league guys want to pay attention. It might mean that Stanley Johnson's able to get a few more minutes and that Reggie Jackson plays next to Steve Blake a little bit more as well, so bear that in mind. Anthony Tolliver made his season debut after having his first child. He had 6 rebounds in 19 minutes, and he's not someone we need to pay too much attention to. The next game we have a look at, the Charlotte Hornets and the Miami Heat. The Heat with a big victory. Let's start with the Hornets side of things. Kemba Walker, 19-4-4, 2 steals, a block, and horrific field goal percentage yet again. We know that's basically his MO at the moment. And before we get back into talking about this game, just had a question come through from Arnold Woodley. Ilyasova or Marcus Morris? I still think Ilyasova is the guy that I want, but I can, at the moment, you'd say that Marcus Morris has outplayed him, although Ilyasova was good in the first game, not quite as good in the second game, but I still want Ilyasova over Marcus Morris. Back to the Hornets. Jeremy Lin, 17 points in 27 minutes with a couple of threes and a couple of assists. He should be owned in all competitive 12-team leagues. Marvin Williams, this makes me feel a little bit ill. Marvin Williams started at power forward. He played 38 minutes, 10-10 with 3 assists. I don't want to own Marvin Williams. I don't want to consider owning Marvin Williams in most leagues. Cody Zeller, I love that he got 30 minutes off the bench, 7-12. I'm probably one of the only Cody Zeller fans left in the world. I think that he can provide some pretty decent value for the end of a 12-team league, and I just want him to get the minutes over Williams. But what ended up happening in this game is that Williams and Cody Zeller got minutes over Al Jefferson, who played just 22 minutes. He scored 17 points with 5 rebounds and a steal. No apparent injury yet, so it's a little bit of a confusing one with Al Jefferson. You'd think his minutes will bump up from there, and you don't think that Marvin Williams and Zeller are going to get a huge amount of preference over Jefferson, but that's pretty much what happened here. So let's just monitor that situation. Nick Batum was a horrible shooting. Back to Portland, Nick Batum, 3 from 12. He will get better, 9-6-3. And if you own Frank Kaminsky in any standard leagues, he played 6 minutes for 1 rebound. So let's move on there. PJ Hairston got the start. He had 3 points in 18 minutes. You don't want PJ Hairston. Jeremy Lamb is going to be back soon. Jeremy Lin is the guy to own there on the in the backcourt next to Kemba Walker. Onto the Heat, Chris Bosh, a 20-10 game, 21-10, a steal, a block, 2 threes, big night from Bosh. Luol Deng, I don't love him for standard leagues. And Dwayne Wade, 23-5 in just 29 minutes, so a nice return from him. Gerald Green off the bench played more minutes than Dwayne Wade and played the same minutes as Luol Deng, which is interesting to me. He hit 5 threes and 19 points. That's where his value lies, is points and threes as well. So if you need that, Gerald Green is someone you can consider because he's going to get minutes off the bench. Justice Winslow played 26 minutes, 5-7. He's not for 12-team leagues. Goran Dragic struggled, much like we saw for most of last season when he was in Miami. 8 points, 6 assists, 2 blocks, which is clearly an outlier, but his field goal percentage was right up there, which is what we expect from Goran Dragic. Not panicking yet, but this is, you know, 2 months last year, a game here. This is becoming a decent sample size of what we can expect from Goran Dragic in Miami. Let's see how it goes. Hassan Whiteside played just 20 minutes, took him until the third quarter to score his first points, 4 points, 6 rebounds, 2 blocks. There was always a danger of him having bad games and struggling, and he started off that way, and the minutes are going to be something we need to monitor. He's probably not ever going to get into a spot where you drop him. I didn't draft him in any of my 12 or 15 leagues, however many I was in this year. I can't even keep track. of the amount because his upside was tantalizing, but there's going to be a lot of downside with Hassan Whiteside, and we saw that in today's game. We might see that in his next game. He goes out and has 18 and 7 with 7 blocks, and everyone will be back on the Whiteside hype train. But and you average it out, there'll be some bad performances in there from him. It makes him a really risky guy in DFS as well. The Philadelphia 76ers and the Boston Celtics. The Sixers were trotting out a pretty ugly lineup. Isaiah Cannon hit 4 threes with 18 points and 7 rebounds. A big day from him. He's gonna be worth owning for his points and threes, and probably his steals for the first month at least. Nerlens Noel, I really love Nerlens Noel. 14 and 12, 3 steals and 2 blocks. The percentages were quite hard to stomach, but you know what you're gonna get in terms of his other numbers. His steals and blocks and rebounds are gonna be really good. So it's good to see that Okafor didn't affect his rebounding. 12 rebounds for Noel, 7 for Okafor. It's only one game. It might change, but that's good to see. TJ McConnell got 28 minutes off the bench, 4 points, 4 assists, 3 steals. We don't want anything to do with him. Cannon is going to get the minutes there until the other players come back, Tony Roten and Kendall Marshall. And on the wings, Jakar Sampson played 27 minutes for 13 points. Hollis Thompson had 9 points in 36 minutes. And Jeremy Grant played 27 minutes off the bench. There is no appealing option from any of those guys in your standard team leagues. A couple of rookies, Rashawn Holmes and Christian Wood, played 6 minutes apiece, and yeah, nothing exciting there. For the Boston Celtics, it's pretty much business as usual for the Celtics. Isaiah Thomas, 27 points in 27 minutes with 7 assists and 3 steals, and the front court was a mess. Amir Johnson played 20 minutes. He was productive, 15 and 7 with 2 blocks, but 20 minutes, how reliable is that? David Lee played 22 minutes, 8, 5 and 5. Jared Sullinger played 21 minutes, 12 and 7 with a steal and a block. That'll likely be cut when Kelly Olynyk comes back. Tyler Zeller started, played 11 minutes, 6 points. This front court just screams a void. I've got David Lee in a couple of leagues. I hate that he only played 22 minutes. Jonas Jerebko, who was apparently out of the rotation, played 15 minutes. Again, this is against the Sixers, so maybe things change, but there is going to be this risk all season, and you shouldn't value any of these guys highly, because Brad Stevens is going to pull these things on us where guys get, the minutes get changed around every day pretty much. Jay Crowder was preferred to Evan Turner as the starting small forward, 14 and 6 with 2 steals and 2 threes. I'm on record as not being a guy who loves Jay Crowder, but that's a really impressive performance, and he's probably owned in your league, but if he's not, you definitely have to pay attention to that, because Evan Turner only got 22 minutes, 6, 4, and 2. And Evan Turner, if he's going to continue to play like that, there's not a lot of hope for him moving forward. Marcus Smart, I was quite impressed with the line he put up. 13, 2, and 5, 2 steals, a block, 3 threes. I think Marcus Smart can be a pretty decent breakout player this year, and you definitely don't want to drop him after a performance like that. That was quite the impressive night from Marcus Smart. Now we move on to the Cleveland Cavaliers and the Memphis Grizzlies. Let's try that again. The Grizzlies. This was a bit of a snoozer. The Cavs won by 30, so we can't really pay a huge amount of attention to what went on in this game with minutes or anything like that. LeBron, 12, 7, and 5. Kevin Love, 17, and 13 with 2 threes. Minutes are all over the place. When Sasha Kohn's getting in and playing 6 minutes and Joe Harris is playing 5 minutes, that is what it is. One thing that I want to pay attention to is what is the center minutes. 25 to Mozgov today, 20 to Thompson, 12 team leagues. I don't want either of them. I think that you can do better than Mozgov. 9 and 4 in 25 minutes. He had 20 minutes yesterday. This is what it's going to be. They've got the depth there with Thompson there now, and Varejao there, and Kevin Love there, and LeBron playing some 4. These guys are not going to get enough run to have value. Over to the Grizzlies, and this is just better off not even paying attention to. There is 2 guys who scored in double digits, Zach Randolph and Marc Gasol. Everybody else was really disappointing. Throw a low ball on Mike Conley. He had 8, 4, and 6. Throw a low ball offer on him. I think that you could do worse than trying that. And Courtney Lee's a guy. I'm going to talk about him a little bit later. 7 points, but 2 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 steals, a block. Not a bad sort of night from Courtney Lee, even though it was with some poor shooting. He's normally a really efficient shooter, so that will come back up. I still think Courtney Lee can have a sort of a mini breakout this year. It's still something that is in my head that we might see from him. I could be proven completely wrong, but at this point, not a horrible start for him to get those peripheral numbers. Next up, we have the New York Knicks and the Milwaukee Bucks, and another blowout. The Knicks laying the hammer down on the Milwaukee Bucks. Sasha Vujicic, the machine, played 29 minutes in the start over Aaron Aflalo, who's out injured, and he's also crap. 11 points, 6 rebounds, 3 assists, 4 steals. Please don't pick up Sasha Vujicic because Langston Galloway played 25 minutes. Jerian Grant played 24 minutes. Jose Calderon played 18 minutes. There's just... Derek Fisher went with a typical Derek Fisher dickhead rotation. Lance Thomas played 20 minutes. He scored 13 points. Vucic played well, but I want Grant to get the minutes. I want Early to get the minutes. I think Calderon should get some minutes. I think Galloway should get some minutes. I don't want to see Vucic playing this. If I'm looking to pick up these guys, look, Langston Galloway, 16, 4, and 3 with 4 threes. He's worth a look if he's going to play some okay minutes. Jerian Grant, 10 points, 5 assists, 3 steals. I like that. I picked him up in a 12-team league before today's game. So I'm happy with that output from Grant. And the other thing with the Knicks is they play 2 games this week on light scheduled days after today. So you can pick up a guy like Grant and get some value from him. You can also pick up a guy like my man Cock, Kylo Quinn, 8 points, 11 rebounds, 1 steal, 2 blocks in only 23 minutes. He does not need many minutes. In a 14-team league, he is a must-own player to me. And he's really close in a 12-team league, depending on the way your team's built. So a big performance from Cock there. Derek Williams, 24 points in 21 minutes with 7 rebounds. Is it real? I don't know. He had a really good preseason. We know he can score. He's been able to score in Sacramento. And it's not often that you can say going to the New York Knicks is a better situation in terms of the franchise. But that could be the case for Derek Williams heading across to the Knicks from the Kings. It might actually be an improvement in the situation. So he's someone to pay attention to. I'm not adding him. I'd rather add O'Quinn over Derek Williams at this stage. And Kristaps Porzingis had 16 points in his 24 minutes. He had a triple one. He had 5 rebounds. He shot the ball poorly, but Porzingis is the guy that I'm adding over all those. Mark Roberts has been bang on about Kristaps Porzingis, about picking him up in standard leagues. I've been on the Porzingis hype train since very, very early on, since before I saw him at Summer League. He is going to get better and better. I'm all for grabbing Kristaps Porzingis. If you own one of the Celtics front court guys, Tyler Zeller, I'm definitely dropping him for Porzingis. Robin Lopez played just 20 minutes. Don't get too concerned there. 8 points, 2 rebounds, 2 blocks. But just keep an eye on it because he struggled down the stretch last year. And if O'Quinn and if Williams and Porzingis are going to be playing this well, then maybe Lopez is in a limited role. We'll see. Jose Calderon, 18 minutes, 3 points, 3 rebounds. Very hard to own him in a standard league if that's what they're going to do. The Milwaukee Bucks, Greg Monroe, 22 and 14, 4 assists, 2 steals, 2 blocks. That is a big night from Monroe. He's primed for a huge season. He was a top 20 guy second half of last year. He is going to be massive here. Now, the Bucks were an interesting team. They got destroyed. They were without Giannis Antetokounmpo and OJ Mayo, who should be back soon. Jabari Parker. If Jabari Parker's on your waiver wire, I'm not rushing to grab him. I'm not burning a waiver priority. I'm not dropping a good player. Yes, the news. He'll be out. He'll be back early November. That's probably in 2 weeks' time. But what's he going to do? Is he going to be back and play 15 minutes for 2 months or for a month? That's a big possibility. So don't be running out and grabbing Jabari Parker. He's not going to be a guy who changes your team's fortunes. Michael Carter-Williams, 25 and 4 with a steal. Some horrific field shooting, 7 from 17, but 8 of 9 from the free throw line. And maybe he's turned the corner with his free throw shooting. The last 2 months, he was over 73% last year. Another big performance. That's encouraging for him. So maybe he's not a punt free throw guard, a point guard anymore. There's not many of those guys around. Ryan K.O. had a comment here on the YouTube video. Greg Monroe or Derek Favors, punting turnovers or field goal percentage? Well, one of Favors' big strengths is his field goal percentage. I would be inclined to take Monroe there, but you're not going to get the block. So if you're desperate for the blocks, Favors is going to be the guy. But I think at this point I'd be inclined to lean just towards Monroe. So obviously there must be some sort of trade in the works here. Just what do you value? Do you value scoring because you're probably going to get more of that from Monroe, or do you value blocks? You're going to get more of that from Favors. But overall, I think they're probably going to end up being ranked pretty similar this year. Jason Kidd did everyone's head in by starting Jared Bayless and playing him 30 minutes. We're not adding Jared Bayless. Rashad Vaughn only got 13 minutes, which is a little bit of a shock considering how well he'd played. And he played well again, and he's going to be demanding minutes now. 10 points and 2 threes. Not verbally. He's going to be demanding it with his play, which is what you want these guys to do. Chris Middleton's horrific season continued. 11 points, 3 threes, 4 of 15 from the field. Low ball the Chris Middleton owner. And John Henson, 10 minutes. Jason Kidd's infatuation with hating John Henson continues. It only abated in the playoffs for whatever reason. He signed a big contract. He got no minutes. I don't want anything to do with John Henson, given Jason Kidd's track record of just not wanting to play him. It makes very little sense to me with Antetokounmpo and Parker both out that he wouldn't play Henson and he would play Johnny O'Brien 17 minutes. That is disgraceful. And then Chris Copeland played 19 minutes as well. Granted, he needed the shooting from Copeland, but what the hell does Johnny O'Brien bring that John Henson doesn't? If anyone can answer me that, I would be thrilled because I can't work it out. Sorry, I can't give you the answer. The next game we look at, the Nuggets and the Rockets. The Nuggets with the big upset here, a huge win over the Rockets. The Rooster, Danilo Gallinari, 23 points, 8 rebounds, 3 assists, 1 steal, 3 blocks, 3 threes, great percentages. He was literally on fire, because if he was, he wouldn't be playing. He was figuratively on fire last season. He started off the same way. He has got a massive axe to grind this year with people, from what I've heard, that he is literally just pissed off that people do not believe in him as a good player. And he showed it today. He is a guy that I targeted aggressively in a lot of drafts, and I ended up with him, and I'm pretty happy that I did. Gary Harris got the start, 5 points, 5 rebounds, 5 assists, 3 steals, a block, and a 3. That's a really full and a really valuable fantasy line, but he's not going to be an ongoing must-own sort of player at this point anyway. But for steals, if I'm looking between him and Tony Allen, I'm probably adding Gary Harris, just because we don't know who he is. We know who Tony Allen is at this point. He's a guy who can get you two steals a game. But Harris could be a guy who gets you 2 steals and then gets you 1.5 threes and then scores 11 or 12 points. We don't know yet. So I'd like the upside there. Kenneth Faried had 3 blocks as well. That's a little bit out of the ordinary for him. 18 and 9, a big night for him. Joffrey Lavernier started at center, 11 points, 7 rebounds, a 3 and a block. He only got 22 minutes, which is a little bit concerning. What's also concerning to me is that Darrell Arthur played 16 minutes, which was more than the 4 minutes that Nikola Jokic got. I don't understand. Mike Malone's been hyping up Nikola Jokic all offseason. Yeah, Jokic, yeah, he's great. Look what Jokic is doing. 4 minutes. Clearly, Lavernier is the guy that you want in a standard league out of this trio. He's not a must hold on to, not a must own guy by any stretch. But if you there's lots of comments coming in on YouTube here, which I'm really liking. So I'll get to them when best I can. Lavernier is the guy that I want, but not a must own guy. Emmanuel Mudiay almost had a triple-double, 17 points, 9 assists, 11 turnovers. He was always going to be a massive pain for 9 cat roto leagues. His free throw percentage hit 2 of 4. Field goal percentage pretty good, but that's a horrific turnovers. But what I love from him is the 3-pointers. We weren't sure if we were going to get big threes from him. He played 38 minutes. He looked great in terms of the numbers. He's going to be a really good player, I think, in this league. So that's encouraging to see from him. Onto the Rockets, James Harden. Look, a quiet night from Harden, but still 22-6-6 with a Richie Beno, which is 2 threes, 2 steals, 2 blocks. Horrible field goal percentage. Saw a few guys with some horrible field goal percentage. 6 of 21 for Harden. But overall, yeah, you're pretty happy to get 2 steals and 2 blocks out of a guy like James Harden. Clint Capela replaced Dwight Howard, who was suspended, 9-7 with 2 steals and 3 blocks. If you went ahead and picked up Clint Capela, you can probably drop him now. Howard looks like he'll be back for the next game, which is on Friday. Capella's still going to have a role. He's still a really interesting guy. Terrence Jones, 15-6. Yeah, 29 minutes, whatever. Didn't blow me away, but it was okay. And Ty Lawson, 12-4-6 in his 37 minutes. Important that he got 37 minutes, and Patrick Beverley only got 21. But overall, Patrick Beverley had probably a better fantasy night. 8 points, 2 threes, 8 rebounds, 2 steals. There's some decent value there from Patrick Beverley. Montrezl Harrell played 16 points, played 16 minutes and had 8 points in his debut. We don't care there. And if you've got KJ McDaniels in leagues that are anything outside of an 18 or 20 team league, even with Motiejunas out, even with Howard out, McDaniels played 1 minute in junk time. Him and Sam Decker. So he's not going to have a big role on this team. So don't think as good as we thought he could be in Philadelphia last year. It just appears like Houston just doesn't want to play him, even after paying him. There'll be times when he has value, but there's going to be also times when he gives you nothing. Next up, the San Antonio Spurs and the Oklahoma City Thunder. If you can't read what that says on the screen, it says, can anyone slow down OKC? They scored another 112 points here. Russell Westbrook went 33, 2, and 10. KD had 22 points and 6 rebounds. A bad shooting night from KD as well, and not many peripheral stats. And we saw that a bit in the preseason, that he wasn't racking up those peripheral numbers, but he played 35 minutes. That's still a good performance from him. But what I really like from the Thunder is Enes Kanter. I know I'm seen as a bit of a guy who loves Enes Kanter, but 15 points and 16 rebounds in 24 minutes. It's great for this team to have a guy who can score like that off the bench. That sort of numbers definitely means he has value in 12-team leagues, absolutely. You know you're not going to get defense from him, but you should have drafted around that. He's going to be a points guy. He's going to be an offensive rebound machine. He had 6 in this game. Total rebounds, he's going to put up some pretty big numbers. Steven Adams got the start and played 30 minutes, 6 and 7 with a block. I think that Kanter probably gets more than Adams on most nights. Adams is not a guy we want to pay attention to for fantasy. Neither is Andre Robertson, who played the Thabo Sefolosha starting role, 17 minutes for 2 points. We can leave him alone. I just don't understand that thought process at all. When then you got Dion Waiters playing 21 minutes off the bench and Anthony Morrow playing 24 minutes off the bench. Doesn't make a lot of sense to me to play a guy and start him and playing so few minutes. You've heard me talk about that probably way too often. The New Orleans Pelicans traveled to take on the Portland Trailblazers. Anthony Davis played 41 minutes in a back-to-back, 25 and 10. He had 2 steals, 2 blocks. He hit 3 triples. There's some weird 3-point performances coming up later on as well, but that's right up there. He definitely not the best performance of the night, but a pretty solid one after a little bit of a disappointing night. But what is annoying about Davis, 2 of 4 from the free throw line. That's 2 subpar free throw percentage performances from Davis. Ryan Anderson, 21 and 9 with 3 threes. Eric Gordon, 20 points with 3 threes as well. I really think Eric Gordon's going to be a big-time guy this year. Jrue Holiday got the start. He played 21 minutes, so 1 minute over his cap, 12 points and 3 assists. There's no point in rostering in Jrue Holiday, I don't think, in any daily changes sort of league, because you're going to get limited minutes and did not play games. And that's what we saw in these first 2 games from Holiday here. Ish Smith still played 29 minutes off the bench, 7 points, 4 rebounds, 8 assists, and 2 steals. And you know what? That's pretty valuable. He took 14 shots as well, and he completely put Nate Robinson out of the rotation. Well, not completely, because Robinson still played 4 minutes. But that's not enough for us to really care about. So Robinson is clearly a guy to drop across the board. There'll be plenty of other options for Robinson. Ish Smith, I'm still not thinking that he's a complete ad, but he's definitely someone you want to look at in daily fantasy when Jrue Holiday's out, or if you want to stream a guy in from assists, because he is a really good guy at accumulating assists. We've seen that for quite a while now with Ish Smith. He's also a terror with the ball in terms of dribbling and speed and how quick he can get into areas and dish things out, which really works to his advantage. Dante Cunningham followed up a pretty nice opening night with a stinker, 0 points and 6 rebounds. Don't buy into him. The Blazers, we've talked about CJ McCollum. Damian Lillard played second fiddle, 21 and 5 with 11 assists and 2 steals and a 3. Still a good night from Lillard. And Myers Leonard, a big one from him too. 12 and 8, 2 threes, a steal, a block. Really love what he's going to be able to do. He started, he played 34 minutes. That's what we want to see. Disappointing for me, Mason Plumlee only playing 19 minutes in the starting role. But the 4 personal fouls, that limited him. So don't be too concerned there. He still had a really good line, 7, 6 and 6. 6 assists is probably going to be his season high. Can't see him getting more than that. And he had that elite field goal percentage too. But remember, he is a punt free throw guy. So if you own him and you're not punting free throws, he was 1 of 3 today. He can really impact that area. El-Farouq Aminu, 31 minutes in the starting wing. He's a defensive guy, 2 blocks and a steal. That's why you drafted him. 8 rebounds is why you drafted him. He gave you exactly what you wanted, and he got the minutes that you wanted as well. With Mason Plumlee being troubled by fouls, Ed Davis played 29 minutes, 12 and 11. Yeah, that's okay. Clearly, I'm having Plumlee over him and having Myers Leonard over him. On the other guys on the wing, Alan Crabb played 22 minutes. He's in no interest. And Noah Vonleh played 14 minutes. And if you took a speculative move to grab Noah Vonleh in a 12 or 14 team league, I don't think that's going to pay off really at all. Couple of games left before we head into the DFS slate for tomorrow's games or today's games, whenever you're listening. The Mavericks and the Suns. Dallas, Chandler Parsons was out. They decided to start Darren Williams and Ray Felton in the backcourt. Probably the most hated backcourt in the NBA, I think that's fair to say. Darren went down early with a knee issue, played 20 minutes, and actually looked really good. 12 points, 2 threes, 2 rebounds, 7 assists, 1 steal. I'll maintain that my Darren Williams is a value pick from drafts this year, even though he went down early with that knee problem. He looks to be okay. We'll see how it pans out. And Ray Felton, 18, 4 and 6 with 2 threes. This is becoming a bit of a trend from Felton. In the preseason, he put up some big numbers. Wes Matthews, you know, it's a back-to-back. We don't know this for sure. They play again tomorrow. Matthews could sit out the back-to-back, so that means you're going to get more Ray Felton. So he's going to be a guy, when we talk daily fantasy later, that he is going to have a significant role. I'm not adding him in standard leagues at this point, but it's getting to that point where you have to consider it. Chandler Parsons is likely to come back on the weekend, though, so that's going to impact Felton. So that's why I'm not adding him yet. I want to see how it plays out, but 33 minutes is a good start after him being basically invisible last season in Dallas. Dirk played just 21 minutes, but the Mavericks did blow out the Suns. 11-9 for Dirk with a 1-1, so a pretty nice night for him. And Zaza Pachulia, 10-10 with 2 steals and a block. That's exactly what you want him to do. A good free throw percentage center, a good steals guy, a decent assist guy. He basically did all of that for you. The way that the other minutes worked out, Dwight Powell played 17 minutes and some backup center. Jeremy Evans played 26 minutes. Good to keep an eye on these players. They're deeper league guys only, but good to see them be able to produce in certain situations. Justin Anderson played just 3 minutes with Wes Matthews limited to 26, with Darren Williams going down and with Chandler Parsons going down. And John Jenkins played just 4 minutes and didn't trouble the scorers. If you own them in standard leagues, I am very comfortable in saying to drop them. Although, if you own Jenkins, maybe hold off, because I said if Wes Matthews sits out, maybe he's forced to get 20 minutes and he can drop 20 points. But after that, if he gets no minutes and Matthews doesn't play, forget about John Jenkins, despite his more than stellar preseason. For the Suns, they were definitely disappointed with that performance. John Lua, 14-7 off the bench. We can discount him. Devin Booker looked really good, though, in his performance. 6-7 from the field for 14 points. Tyson Chandler, 17 minutes. Don't panic. 3-6. Alex Len, 14 minutes. 4-8. Don't panic. John Lua is not going to get minutes over these guys on a regular basis. Jeff Hornacek just basically emptied the bench and played a stack of guys. Sonny Williams got 15 minutes. Archie Goodwin played 17. Ronnie Price played 11. PJ Tucker played 9. He got some early fouls and that limited him, but he played 9 minutes. TJ Warren played 20 minutes, 9 points and 4 rebounds. PJ Tucker is not a must-own guy anymore. We saw the trend in preseason. It's happened again here. He still started. Now, you don't have to make the direct swap of Tucker for Warren. Warren's not a must-own guy at this point. There is still some upside there. But Tucker, he's just like he's fallen completely out of favor in Phoenix. Next up, we have the Los Angeles Clippers and the Sacramento Kings. Blake Griffin went off 33-8-4. Nothing else, but there's still some pretty good numbers. And Chris Paul went 18-5-11 with a couple of steals. DeAndre Jordan did his thing, missed all three of his free throws, had 12 rebounds and 4 blocks, while JJ Redick had 15 points and not much else. They're the value guys there. Lance Stephenson started, had 7 points in 19 minutes. Forget about it. Josh Smith, 4 blocks, 6 rebounds, 1 point. Yeah, we like 4 blocks, but no. Paul Pierce, 12-7 in 24 minutes. No. Jamal Crawford, 11 points in 21 minutes. No. And I say no because you just don't want these guys in a standard league. Smith, Stephenson, Pierce, Crawford. I don't think they've got a place in the roster in a standard league. On to the Sacramento Kings. DeMarcus Cousins went 32-13. He went 4-5 from 3. I don't know how to explain this. I don't know how to explain that Anthony Davis and DeMarcus Cousins combined for 7 three-pointers. We talked about it in preseason a lot that big men are shooting threes. How much of it was going to be real? Well, Al Horford's still shooting them. Davis is shooting them. Cousins is shooting them. It's a real thing. He is an animal, DeMarcus Cousins. He was a guy, I've picked him at 4 in certain drafts. I think he's a great option, and he started off the season fantastically. Kostas Koufos got the start. He played 23 minutes, 10-7 with 2 blocks. That's serviceable, but it's not sexy. Willie Cauley-Stein, 8 minutes, 2 points and 2 rebounds. Nah, there's nothing for him in standard leagues. There's nothing for him in 14-team leagues. He's going to be brought along slowly. George Karl, everything that comes out of his mouth seems to be a lie in regard to the center position. Don't buy into it too much. Rudy Gay, 16-6-3, so it was good that he was able to play. And Rajon Rondo played 25 minutes, but what's important is Darren Collison played 30 minutes. 4-7-4 for Rondo, 13 points, 6 assists for Collison. Collison at this point in his career, Collison is the better player here. I'm glad to see him getting the minutes, and I hope that continues as a trend. Even though for some reason I do own Rondo in two leagues, I think I had a complete brain fart that day that I drafted. They were both on the same day. But Collison is the better player. And if for some reason Darren Collison isn't owned in your 12-team league, if he isn't owned in your 10-team league, please have a look and see if you can fit him onto your roster. Speaking of 12-team leagues, Ben McLemore, he's not must-own. 20 minutes for him, 5 points. This is always going to be the we heard George Karl, you know, dampening expectations for McLemore. It came true. Ballinelli played 32 minutes, 7 assists and 9 points with 3 threes. Doesn't mean you need to add Ballinelli, but that's the minutes distribution. It just means that McLemore is not a guy that we need to we don't need to own him really at all in any sort of standard 12-team leagues. The last game of the night, the Minnesota Timberwolves and the Los Angeles Lakers. Ricardo Rubio, 28 points, 2 threes, 2 rebounds, 14 assists, 1 steal, 10 of 17 from the field, 6 of 7 from the free throw line. And I'll say this, if Ricky Rubio has learned to shoot, look out. He hasn't learned to shoot. This is an anomaly that happens. I've been big on Rubio. You've heard me talk Rubio a lot. This is fantastic. This is music to my ears to see Rubio do this. Love it. It's not going to happen again, but I love the fact that he dropped 28 points. It's against the Lakers as well, so bear that in mind. Karl Anthony Towns, 14 and 12. A good debut from him. Nothing too spectacular, but pretty solid. And Nemanja Bjelica, 8 points, 5 rebounds, and a couple of threes in 23 minutes. Still, that's not someone that I want for 12-team leagues, but it's a little bit, it's encouraging. What is disappointing is Gorgui Dieng played just 20 minutes. 4 points, 4 rebounds, a steal and 2 blocks. There's still a little bit of value, but he's going to want to get those minutes back up. Kevin Garnett, the ceremonial start, 13 minutes. We can ignore that. I've talked about Andrew Wiggins already, and Tayshaun Prince, the other starter, played 15 minutes. I don't know. I don't get it. Why the hell are you... I know Kevin Garnett. Why are you starting Tayshaun Prince? That just makes zero sense to me. Zach LaVine played 20 minutes off the bench. Not ownable in 12-team leagues. Shabazz Muhammad played 19 minutes, 10 points. Not ownable. Kevin Martin, 23 points in 29 bench minutes. 11 of 12 from the free throw line. That is where he makes his money. If he's getting 29 to 30 minutes regularly, he definitely is back in the conversation for 12-team leagues. Onto the Lakers, Roy Hibbert with a really encouraging performance, 12 and 10 with 2 blocks. You don't like the fact that he went 1 of 4 from the field, but you love as a center that he went 10 of 10 from the free throw line. You don't get that very often. And Kobe looked good. He still murdered your field goal percentage. He went 8 of 24, but 24 points with 3 threes and 2 steals is a nice night. D'Angelo Russell struggled. It was always on the cards he was going to struggle. 4, 3, and 2 in 26 minutes. Let's wait before we make any big judgments on dropping him or anything like that. And Jordan Clarkson, 30 minutes, 14, 2, and 3. That's an okay performance, nothing too exciting. Julius Randle, everyone will get hyped that he had 15 and 11, but this is what he is. He is 15 and 11. This is probably not 11 all the time. 2 assists, no steals, no blocks, no threes. Bad field goal percentage. This is what he's going to offer you. You're going to get a number of 16 and 7s or 16 and 8s from him. But it's the other areas where he lacks, and that really limits his upside as a fantasy guy. Nick Young hit 4 triples in 19 minutes, and Lou Williams went for 21 points in 27 minutes. So it's really important to watch how they run their rotation. Kobe with 29 minutes, Williams with 27 minutes, Clarkson with 30 minutes, and Russell with 26 minutes, with Marcelo Huertas playing 13 off the bench. So that's probably a good indication for how they're going to run that rotation throughout the year. And hopefully that gives you some sort of idea of these guys that are ownable from the Lakers. Now, Ryan KO has chimed in with another question. Is Tony Parker a must-own in 14-team leagues? I'd say he is. You know what? That reminds me. We talked about the Oklahoma City Thunder and the San Antonio Spurs. I didn't even talk about the Spurs. I want to talk about the Spurs now. Kawhi Leonard, a career-high 32 points, 8 rebounds, 3 steals, and 2 blocks. He is a monster. Tim Duncan, 3 blocks and 8 points. Tony Parker, 10, 3, and 3. That's definitely not beautiful, but in a 14-team league year, I think that has to be earned. Throw a low ball offer to Danny Green, owner, 4 points, 8 rebounds, 2 assists. He'll be better than that, obviously. And LaMarcus Aldridge, 11 and 5. I don't love Aldridge this year. I didn't. If you can go real low ball on him, I would, but I don't think you're going to be able to, because everyone seemed to value him as a top 20 guy, where I had him, I think, outside the top 30 in my rankings, and I just don't love what he's going to be able to do. So I apologize for missing the Spurs. If you're a Spurs fan, I apologize for missing them, but going back. But thank you to Ryan for that question that enabled me to bring it back. that's it for the review of Wednesday's 14-game slate. Let's have a bit of a break while we transition to the daily part of the show. I saw you. Okay, so back in business, looking ahead to the games. Now, I mentioned earlier, I said a mistake that it was only two games. There are three games on. So let's break down these three games for your daily fantasy needs. And remember, on moneyball.com.au, go ahead over there. I'm going to be putting up a Red Rock contest there to join in, and you can go and win some money, you Aussie guys. I'm going to be most the prices I'm going to be mentioning here are going to be FanDuel prices. So let's get into it now. The first game is the Memphis Grizzlies and the Indiana Pacers. The Grizzlies are 2.5-point favorites, a really low over-under, and that's what Grizzlies games are. So it doesn't mean we're going to be putting up huge numbers with a lot of these guys here, but there's still some value to be had, definitely. Paul George at 8,500, he clearly exceeded that value in today's game. I think that it's going to be hard to go against Tony Allen and to go against the slowdown Grizzlies, especially if he has to play the four against Zach Randolph. So that's a little bit of a concern there. But I still think at that price, there is some value in him. I touched on Courtney Lee earlier. He's at 3,800. If he does what he did in today's game, which was 7 points, and gives you 18 fantasy points, that's almost enough value. And I think he can have a better performance than that. So I really like him as a cheap option. CJ Miles at 4,900. Does he replicate what he did? He's probably a little bit doubtful there. And I really like Mike Conley to have a bit of a bounce back here at 6,400. I think there is some value there in him. Zach Randolph, Marc Gasol, they were disappointing. I don't think they present really great value here, though. Whereas George Hill at 6,500 is someone that I want to have a look at if I want one of those sort of mid-range point guards in this low slate. Monte Ellis, you can forget about him. I don't like him at that price. Yan Mahimi is probably, at 4,800, he's probably a little bit, he had a really good game, but going against Gasol and Randolph, I don't really love his ability to be able to put up that sort of performance again. Whereas Matt Barnes, he barely did anything in the first game. But again, it's so hard to know with the Grizzlies because that game was such a blowout against the Cavs. How much are we going to see a repeat of that? I would say probably most unlikely, but it's something to pay attention to. The Pacers will want to get a victory as well after that loss to Toronto. The second game on the board is the Atlanta Hawks and the New York Knicks. The Hawks are favored by two. My screen just went blank there. The Hawks are favored by two, and there's a total of 196. So it's in the mid range of the totals for today's games. There's a few guys we need to pay attention to for the Hawks. Mike Muscala and Thabo Sefolosha have both been ruled out of this game, so that means there's going to be some more minutes for some of these wing players for Atlanta. So what we need to do is, or not just wing players, we can look at the big men as well in Atlanta because Muscala took some of those minutes. I don't think it's going to mean we're going to see much more from Horford or Millsap, but it might mean that Mike Scott comes into the equation. I don't love Mike Scott, so I don't think I'm going to be playing him, but it's something to pay attention to. Guys that we can have a look at in terms of this overall game, the Knicks will be on a high as well. Can they replicate it? I think that Robin Lopez is a really good bounce back candidate here. He's at only 4,500. He was really disappointing, but I think that he can have a bounce back performance. Jerian Grant at 4,400, I'm okay bringing him out there, but he's probably a tournament guy only because we just can't be sure of his value and what sort of role he's going to play in a cash game sort of format. Same as Kristaps Porzingis, he's probably more a tournament guy to me. I think Al Horford is really strong, and so is Paul Millsap at their prices. 7,300 for Horford, 7,700 for Millsap. I think both of those guys are going to be able to put up some pretty nice numbers against the Knicks. And Dennis Schroeder at 4,800, I really like him as a point guard option as well. He's $2,200 cheaper than Jeff Teague. He outperformed Jeff Teague in game one. I don't want to put Teague in at $7,000. I would rather go with some of the other guys in the other games and put Schroeder in there at that cheaper price. Allow you to put some other big names in. Allow you to put Millsap and Horford, both of those guys, into a lineup. Allow you to put Paul George in as well. Mello, he disappointed a little bit in his first game. He shot the ball really badly, so I imagine his shooting is going to go up. So at 9,400, if you put a few of these other cheap options in, if you put Lopez in, you're taking a flyer on Grant, yeah, Mello at 9,400, it is expensive, but if he could give you 40 fantasy points, he could give you 45 fantasy points, and if he gives you 45 fantasy points, that's bang on where you need him to be. So I'd look for him to have a bounce back. He's not likely going to shoot as poorly as he did in the first game. Dirk Williams, do we expect him to have a 34-point fantasy point performance again? Probably not, but there is the opportunity there. So in a tournament sort of lineup, you can throw him in a couple of those. And Tim Hardaway Jr. was inactive the first game. The Hawks have said he's going to be active for this game. There's going to be minutes, the 18 or so minutes that Thabo Sefolosha played. We're probably not going to be there for Hardaway. So Sefolosha is not going to have those 18 minutes. So Hardaway is going to get extra run. So you can have a look at him. You can also have a look at Kent Bazemore, who's at minimum salary still. He was putrid. You'd expect a little bit more out of him, but I don't really think he's necessarily the best option because, look, he's just not a good player. And that's something that Tim Hardaway's not a good player either, but he can be a little bit more daily fantasy friendly anyway. The last game of the night, the Dallas Mavericks and the Los Angeles Clippers. We need to check the status of Darren Williams. We need to check the status of Wes Matthews on the back-to-back, Williams with the knee problem. If one or both of those guys sit, Ray Felton at 4,000, he becomes extremely intriguing. He had almost 32 fantasy points in today's games. At 4,000, that's some pretty significant value there for him. Jeremy Evans and Dwight Powell, both really cheap minimum salary guys. Don't necessarily think you want to go with them. They're more sort of tournament upsides. Blake Griffin at 9,900. The thing with Blake Griffin at 9,900, it's a lot of money to spend. He had a big game against the Kings, but he still didn't return great value. He returned okay value, but not right where you need to be. But I think putting him in, though, against Dallas is worth a look. Chris Paul at 9,800, I would rather put Griffin in if I'm spending that much money rather than putting Chris Paul in. Dirk at 6,200, probably going to ignore him at that price point. And Darren Williams at 7,000, again, I probably want to ignore him there as well. DeAndre Jordan at 7,700, I think makes a fair bit of sense going up against Zaza Pachulia. He should be able to really dominate in terms of the boards, get some blocks, and be able to get some alley-oops in there as well. I think that he should see his scoring go up a little bit as well. I think that he is going to be a pretty decent buy at that price of 7,700. So now, if you're watching up on the screen, I've got some of my plays. And when we look at it, I go cheap guy, I go mid-range guy, I go expensive guy. So Ray Felton's the best cheap point guard on the board at 4,000. I think Jeff Teague at 7,000 if you're looking for a mid-range guy, and Chris Paul at 9,800 because he is really the only high-priced point guard that is out there. At shooting guard, Courtney Lee at 3,800. I've touched on him already. JJ Redick at 5,000, he was pretty good. That's not a bad price for him. And there were just no high price shooting guards on the board today. CJ Miles at 4,900. It feels a bit like chasing points to go after him. So as okay and as low salary as that is, I don't think he replicates what he did. There's no real mid-range small forward on the board. And Paul George at 8,500, if you put the right guys around him, he's probably going to see a bit of a decrease, hopefully an increase in efficiency, but decrease in output against Memphis. Power forwards, Jeremy Evans is almost at the minimum in a tournament, maybe. It's hard to know how the minutes are going to go there. Zach Randolph at 7,200 and Paul Millsap at 7,700 are both really intriguing guys, especially Millsap. For the centers, I touched on Robin Lopez already and Al Horford and DeAndre Jordan. There's a lot of value in a lot of these center guys that are there. All right. I think we are done for today's podcast. You know what? I keep forgetting you guys. I don't mean to forget you guys. I've got listener questions to answer. So let's go through and knock a couple of those ones out. Sam, who's on Twitter at _Yuhi_, only halftime, but two threes for Ricky Rubio. Has he turned the corner or opening day craziness? Well, I touched on that a little bit already. Who knows? I don't really know what that means, but it was great to see him doing it. Mark Roberts on Twitter at Mark F. Roberts, and the Mark is spelt with a C. He's tweeted at me, why did Rick Carlisle play John Jenkins 0 minutes? Is Rick mad at me or something? Mark has been John Jenkins' biggest supporter all preseason. I've got no idea, but it looks like that's two games in a row where he's been sort of minimized out of the rotation for Jenkins. And as I mentioned before, I don't think there's much point in holding on to him. Joey, who's at Sindaco31. DeMarcus Cousins has 4 3-pointers. Is it a fluke or something else? He made only 2 threes over the last 2 seasons. Yes, he did. But things are definitely changing with what Cousins is doing and with big men in the NBA. So that could be a trend that keeps up. Probably not to that extent, but it's something to pay attention to. Matthew Wang, after getting paid this summer, why does kid still refuse to play Henson only 10 minutes a night? I have absolutely no idea. I can't explain that. Fantasy Nut on Twitter at fantasy_nuts. Cantor put up big numbers in not a lot of minutes. Do you think his minutes increase or is this just an anomaly? I think they increase a little bit, maybe up to 27. I don't think he gets 30, 34 minutes or anything like that. Wes Badke on Twitter at Wes, B-A-E-D-K-E. Is it too early to cut bait on Noah and pick up Kufos? Well, I'm not going to, if I'm dropping Noah, I don't think I'm adding Kufos. I'd want to add someone a little bit better than that, but it's definitely not too early to cut bait on Noah. That's 2 games under 20 minutes, 2 scoreless performances. Not great for Joakim Noah. And the last question, Radicalp10 on Twitter at xorad10, Porzingis or Humphries? Pretty straightforward question. And to me, the answer is pretty straightforward. I want the upside of Porzingis. He might not have the track record of Chris Humphries, but he also Humphries doesn't bring that same upside to the game. All right, that was a lot of games to get through. Tomorrow's podcast will be a little bit shorter, maybe a little bit more detail in that as well, because we have less games, but there will obviously be more of a DFS slant to tomorrow's show. Make sure you are following me on Twitter, redrock_bball, checking out basketballmonster.com, checking out hardwoodparoxysm.com and moneyball.com.au, and of course, don't forget to subscribe to the podcast and leave me a review. You can become a sponsor of the show if you do that. And everyone who has done that, it's been fantastic so far. Let's really just destroy iTunes with reviews. That would be absolutely superb. And I would enjoy that immensely. Today's podcast, almost done. Again, thank you guys for listening. The numbers have been really fantastic. And I've been super, super proud of everyone and the way the podcast has grown. So thank you very much. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. See ya.